lot of houses, and there's a lot of houses and a lot of people in Mexico City. We're so pleased to be part of the ministry down there. The truth is, and we didn't show as many pictures of people that we wanted to. The truth is that there were dozens of people this last year that accepted Christ just because of this natural disaster. That we, and I want to say that a lot of times people are like willing to say a prayer if that's the requirement to receive a basket of food or something. And our philosophy is we'll help you. And here's a track if you're interested later when you're more tranquil in your house and you can read that. It will explain exactly what you need to know about God and what He wants for you. And so we don't know how many hundreds might have read that track and accepted Christ. I accepted Christ reading a track. And so I know it's possible. It happens. It works. That's why we give out tracks, right? But the people that we actually talk to, the people that we know for sure in their heart, they wanted to receive Christ, were dozens of people after the earthquake. And so that's on your account because you help us be there. And you need to remember that. The missionaries that have a success in the field, and I want to just make a funny note. Here in the United States, we call it the foreign field. In Mexico, the United States is the foreign field. Everybody needs to try to reach everybody, okay? Yeah. It's an important idea to realize that everybody has to try to reach everybody. And the way it's presented in the Great Commission is there's a progression, but it's at the same time, right? And you guys are doing excellent in that. My wife usually shares about a story of a lady named Elvira. They pronounce it Elvira, but her name's Elvira. And she's in heaven today. She she came to our church with some questions. She wanted to know more about the Bible. And through Lori's Bible study, ladies' Bible study, I'm sorry. She was able to understand more and more. And she came to Lori and she says, I think I need to clean my life up. And Lori's like, no, you don't. You just need to accept Christ and let Him clean up your life. And 2 months later, she got baptized, and she was just so precious to come to church. And if there was a need of, you don't have cream for your coffee, she'd go buy it, and she'd paid somebody's bus fare to get to the church. I mean, she was always generous like that. And she came to church on a Sunday, and then the next Saturday she had died. And everybody was so sad because this is a genuine change that we saw in a person that accepted Christ. And so that's one story Lori loves to share because it was the ladies' ministries that really affected this woman. And, you know, when you think about it, our church that we started down there, we started just with us, our family, and maybe one or two people. And now on this trip, none of the ministries had to stop. All the ministries that we had weekly are going on. Amen. Right now there's people meeting and they're going to be preaching. And Wednesday and Tuesday mornings, the ladies are meeting. And everything's continuing. And that's the way it should be. We want you to realize that. I'm going to take a drink. I do want to talk about something really important in the whole world. Everybody that is here would probably remember a time in your life when you had a conflict. You ever have a conflict? I'm looking for nodding heads, and they're all nodding. So, yeah, we have conflicts. And sometimes if a conflict is a little tough, you have to have an intermediary to come and help you, right? And it's like, oh, he's arguing with him. And so then they have somebody come in and kind of referee it, you know, not to referee the fight, but to referee the discussion and all. Sometimes we really consider the fact that we have to have somebody to help us to do something that we ought to be able to do ourselves, right? That seems so silly, but we have to have somebody to be the intermediary. In business even, there's a big company that has a thing and a little company or another big company, then they have something going on between them. They have people that they send back and forth, right? And I want you to kind of think of that concept when we go to 2 Corinthians 5, because what we're talking about is the necessity to have an intermediary. When we talk about relationships, the most important relationship in our world, needed an intermediary. We needed to have somebody to be there to help us reconcile our relationship. What would happen if you had negotiations going on and there was a deadline and one of them didn't accept the offer that was given? Yeah, it would be over. Does that make sense? Do you really understand how that works? There's always a deadline. If you say, okay, in a week, if we don't get an answer from them, it's over. The offer's off the table. No, we're not going to give it to them anymore. And when that happens, the deadline is firm, and it depends on how fast the guy that's supposed to take the offer to the other side and how fast they will accept it, and then it's okay. If it passes the deadline, you're done. You can't have that offer. If you're talking about the most important relationship in the world, that's our relationship with God, is there a deadline? Some people say, yeah, there is a deadline when you're dead. You know, deadline, dead, you know. But Jesus might come back before then, and there's another deadline. The fact is if we don't reconcile with God before the deadline, there is no option. There's no other answer. When we look at 2 Corinthians 5:14, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. It says here, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead." What they're saying there is a pretty simple little understanding here. If Jesus died for all, do you believe that? Jesus died for all?
Amen.
That means all were dead in our sins. All were dead in sins, and without Jesus dying for our sins, we're all dead. So it's showing the enormity of the situation. The problem of the relationships that are broken with God is everybody has a broken relationship. Doesn't matter what country, you know, foreign field, regular field, doesn't matter. Everybody has the same problem. Verse 15 says, "And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." You know, there's always a change. When somebody gets saved, there's always a change. Now, it might be more radical for somebody than another person. The radical change of a drug addict is going to be a whole lot more than a good guy, you know. But the change is always there.
Amen.
And it's usually a change in attitude. I talked to a man one time, and he says, "Oh, I think I'm not saved." And I said, "Well, why do you say that?" Because he had asked Jesus to be a savior. You can't lose your salvation, so he had to have been saved if he was saved. And I said, "Why do you say that?" And he says, "I sinned again." And I go, "Well, let me ask you, what did you think of sin before you accepted Christ?" "Oh, it was good." He said, "It was fun." And I said, "What do you think about sin now?" "I hate it." He says, "I hate it. I hate it when I sin. I just can't stop." And I said, "Well, that's okay, because guess what? You're showing that you have had a change. You probably genuinely accepted Christ, and Christ changed your heart." And the guy was like, "Oh." And I said, "Now what you need to do is you need to focus in on asking forgiveness every time. Work on this. Make your life sanctified before the Lord. Work on that. But if you truly accepted Christ, that's where the change came from." So we live not unto ourselves. Now, that doesn't mean we don't eat. That doesn't mean we don't dress. We don't, you know, buy stuff we like. But what that means is, what is your main focus in your life? Is it about me or is it about God? It's got to be about God. You know, even the clothes you wear should be about God. You know, that word modesty comes out, you know, even for guys. You know, I know everybody says, "Oh, women need to be modest." And guys, too, need to be modest. But that's honoring God with your body in a way that is right. So we don't live unto ourselves, but we live unto him who died for them and rose again. Jesus died for everybody, so we live for them. Paul talked about we live our lives according to the conscience of the weaker brother. There's limitations in the Bible that aren't specific but general on what we should do, shouldn't do, based on whether we can be a good testimony for somebody else.
Amen.
How many of us are really good at that? Or this is the sign in Mexico of más o menos, more or less. Sometimes more, sometimes less, right? That's the Christian life. I'm sorry. There are people that are super Christians in their own mind. And, you know, they think that they're above everybody else. You know what? We're all the same. We all struggle. Sometimes we struggle with a particular sin or a particular way or a particular something. But God is with us, helping us. He wants us to live for Him because we're the ones that are supposed to be witnessing for Him. In verse 16, it says, "Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more." When it's talking about that, it's talking about, it's not about the physical stuff, it's about the spiritual stuff. Once a person's saved, they start thinking about the spiritual things. How many of you have started thinking about spiritual things? You know, sometimes we watch movies and we're like, wow, that's got a weird spiritual twist to it. You know, and you never would have thought of that before. Honestly, when a person gets saved, all of a sudden, it's opened up a great realm of new thoughts. It's not about the flesh. Verse 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." We are new. I phrase it, the saved you, the new you, you know. You have a different position in Christ and in front of God. You are a different type of person, although you still have the same flesh. You still have the same struggles. But remember I said that the attitude about those struggles are not the same. We don't like sin anymore. We might sin, but we don't like it anymore. Verse 18 says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ." I want to stop there and just look at this, because it says, "All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ." It's not because I decided, oh, I want to get saved and go to heaven one day. Honestly, that's my desire. That was my desire when I was young and, you know, got saved. But the fact is God reconciled himself to us. You know, it's God did it. And when we think about that, how many of you here could recognize that God loves you enough to do that? I mean, we were talking in Sunday school about the love of God. It's just amazing, and amazing to me that the angels are learning about the love of God by what's going on in God's church. Isn't that funny? The angels are learning about God's love because they aren't the ones that are going to benefit from the death of Jesus. The angels are like, well, you know, they're doomed. And Jesus says, no, they're not doomed because I'm giving my life for them. And they're like, what? Like he was saying, it's something foreign for the angels. They're learning about God by us, by seeing how we can be saved. And to me, that was cool. That was free. It was, you know. And the rest of the verse says something super important. It says, "And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." Now remember when I said that when we have a conflict, there's got to be somebody, an intermediary that comes and helps you. That's what this is talking about. The ministry of reconciliation. Reconciling is like, okay, we're going to patch this together and we're going to do everything. Well, the fact is God did everything and is just offering a deal. Now, if we're the ones, and it could be anybody in this room, is showing the deal to somebody, did I do that? I just show them what God did. Does that make sense? I'm just showing them what God is offering. I'm just sharing with them the good news about the offer to fix the relationship, to reconcile the relationship. So when we say we are given the ministry of reconciliation, he's not talking about pastors and missionaries and evangelists. No, he's talking about Christians. What's really tough is, okay, raise your hand if you're a Christian. You know what? That's you. You have the ministry of reconciliation. You have to go out. Lori's song says that it's a command. It's a command. We have to go out and tell people about the offer. Now, if it's a bad offer, like, you know, well, you got to work yourself to death to get there. Who's going to do that, right? People do it. Honestly, if you tell them you want to work your way to heaven, there's an option B, and there isn't. I'm not saying that there is. There is no options. But if you were to tell, there are people that would prefer to work than receive something free. Isn't that funny? You offer it free, and they go, well, I don't know about that. They're skeptical about free, because there's nothing free. Just the salvation God's offering. God did everything, and so he gives us the ministry of reconciliation. That means the work of telling people the good news. Now, if I was to say the United States is the foreign field while we're in Mexico, you know there are Mexicans that came to the United States to help with the ministry of reconciliation? So when you think of us as the foreign field, we think of you as the foreign field. But it's okay because we're reconciling people to Christ.
Amen.
Verse 9 says, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. In other words, he used Jesus to reconcile the world, and we all know that. Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, if you wonder what that means, we don't have to pay for our sins because Jesus paid for them, but giving us the word of reconciliation. What is the word of reconciliation? If you have your Bible, hold it up really high. The word of reconciliation is the gospel. What we have to do is we have to take the gospel to somebody and present it in a way that they can get that God's offering a free salvation. God's offering you the deal of the century, of the many centuries, of all time, the deal that beats all deals possible. He's saying free salvation. Do you want it or no? Verse 20 says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. If I say the word ambassador, what's the first thing you think of? A foreign representative in another country. I don't remember who it was. There it is. He's got the pin on his thing. It's got the Christian flag and the American flag. I love that because guess what? He's got two citizenships. No? American and heaven bound, you know? Two citizenships. We are, if you're saved, you are a citizen of heaven. Even though we're not there right now, you know, you're a citizen of heaven. But while you're a citizen of heaven, living in the world, that means you are an ambassador for Christ.
Amen.
And if you think of an ambassador, ambassador just goes and does what he wants? No. An ambassador, by promise of faith and by contract maybe, has to say exactly what they said to say. We are ambassadors of Christ. We have to share the gospel, and we can't change it. We can't modify it. We can't color it up a little bit. We don't need to. The fact is we have to share exactly what Jesus told us to share. It's free. We can't put on any little extra things on there. Is it difficult to share a free gift with somebody? How many of you ever had somebody not really want to accept a free gift? You know, sometimes that's tough. All the cults, and I'm going to say all the cults in the world, attach stuff to it. They don't just share the gospel, they share works. Gospel and works. They say Jesus and works. And most of the works are specifically designed to support the cult. Does that make sense? It's kind of like, oh, okay. Should be easy to figure out, but the cults are always adding to it. We, as ambassadors of Christ, cannot add anything to the gospel.
Amen.
Now, that doesn't mean that there might be a method that we use, tracts, or street preaching, or door knocking, or VBS, or there's tons of ways to present the gospel. You guys do a lot, we do a lot, you know? That's great. But we're ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. So he's talking to him about, it's important that as we're doing all this ministry of reconciliation, you be reconciled to God. I don't know. Obviously, every time we come back, there's more people here. Sometimes we come back and we're like, I remember you. And that's good. That's good. You're all about doing the ministry of reconciliation. But I need to say this. I don't know today. There probably is somebody who hasn't been reconciled to God. Probably in this number of people, there's somebody who yet hasn't accepted the free gift of God. And I just want to take a brief pause from the passage and just say, it is so incredible to just listen to the free gift. The free gift means we're all in trouble. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We're all in trouble. And the trouble is because the wages of sin is death, and that's a spiritual separation from God. If you don't have Jesus as your Savior, that's your position right now. You need to be reconciled. You know, there's a ton of people here that would be happy, more than happy, ecstatic to help you reconcile yourself to God. Because Jesus paid the price for us. All we're doing is telling you about it. It's a free gift. It's by grace are you saved, not through works. Honestly, if it was through works, we could say something about ourselves, right? It says that we shouldn't boast, that none should boast. I think Brother Crawford could boast more than a lot of us, right? His wife's going, you know what? Nobody can boast because Brother Crawford got saved the same way you got saved. You know, just humble yourself, and maybe it was harder for him to humble. I don't know. Was it? No. It wasn't hard for him to humble himself, just as it wasn't hard for you to humble yourself. If you're not saved yet, that might be your obstacle. Humble yourself. Realize that God did it for you. I'm not going to have a comfort invitation right now, but you know what? I think you need to be aware that at the end, if you're not saved, if you haven't made that decision, please run up to the front. Run up. I mean, if you run up, Brother Crawford will run down to meet you. He'll check you out there. All right. We want to make sure we're about the reconciliation. Verse 21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." A lot of people are misunderstanding. Jesus, they say, oh, well, Jesus went to the cross to die for us, but he didn't become sin. And I'm like, well, okay. What do you mean didn't become sin? When God turned his face from Jesus, looked away, Jesus became sin on the cross. If you want to say he represented sin, but he actually became the problem that we have between God and us. So that when he died, our problem went away. Isn't that cool? Now what's the problem? Accepting it. The problem is accepting the free gift. That's the only problem left. It says, "When we then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain." Paul says he's a worker, and we are as well. Workers together. We work together, your church and us, we work together. We work together with God to reach the lost. How many of you can think of right now, a person that's not saved? Do you have their picture of their face in your head? Think of that person right now. How many of you remember the guy, the person, or the situation when you got saved? You remember who that was? Lori, who was it? So she had a pastor that cared enough for her to share the gospel and prayed for her for over a year that she would actually get it. How many of you remember the person that shared Christ with you? That person had the ministry of reconciliation. That person should be thanked every once in a while because they put up with you. The person that led me to the Lord by giving me a tract and by offering me a Bible study, it was actually a family, Harlan Bensley and Brian Bensley, his son. And they were just being very casual about it. Oh, you want to accept Christ? Here's a tract. They said, you want to study the Bible? Come to our house. They weren't being like forceful or anything, but they offered it. You can offer the salvation free, and people will say, well, what's the gimmick? He said, there's no gimmick. You can say yes or no. God will respect your decision. That's the tough part about it, isn't it? Somebody refuses the gospel, God will respect their decision. You don't want to go my way? Okay, you don't go. Verse 2 of chapter 6 says, "For he saith, I've heard thee in time accepted, in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." I don't remember the date, but I remember exactly where I was when I accepted Christ. How many can say that? I remember exactly where I was when I accepted Christ. You know what? That's an important thing because salvation is like that. You know what? the sanctification, oh, we're still working on that. It says, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. How many of you have seen people that everybody's like, oh, I would accept Christ, but man, look at those people. You know, that's our fault. If somebody's offended by the gospel because it offends them, then that's one thing. But if I'm so obnoxious that I offend people, you know, if I go to Mexico, and this is the honest truth, if I go to Mexico on December 12th and walk around the street with a big sign saying, how come you're so dumb to follow this idol? They will kill me. I've offended them in a way that they're not open to hear the gospel. They will take steps to rid themselves of this obnoxious person. So we have to approach them in a way that would be tolerable. When you say tolerable, I'm not trying to be super nice to everybody, but sometimes I'm pretty aggressive with people, but in a nice way. No? But we can't be the offense. If the gospel's offensive to somebody, that's because God's working on their heart. But if I'm offensive to somebody, that's because I'm rude. Let's not be rude. Let's share the love of Christ in a loving way. Verse 4 says, but I'm going to read 4 through 9. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings and fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by longsuffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet known, as dying, and behold, we live, chastened and not killed. What is Paul saying? It's tough. The ministry of reconciliation can be tough. How many of you say, oh, coming on Tuesday? That's hard. How many of you have said that? That's hard. There's a show on TV, or that's the day when I, you know, go eat hot wings or something, you know? Self-sacrifice is not a bad thing. As a matter of fact, if you accepted Christ, you have a lifestyle of self-sacrifice. Does that make sense? You're going to encounter people and situations that are just plain hard. How many been dog bit when you're visiting? You have, right? How many of you have had an arm? When I say arm, how do you say that in English? A weapon pulled out or showed. I have. Even in Mexico, I have. And there's no weapons allowed there. The thing is it's going to be hard. Does that mean it's not worth it? How much would you pay for your own soul? Is it worth it? Absolutely. When I shared the story of Elvira, I was starting to cry, and Lori's starting to cry, I could tell. When you lead somebody to the Lord that you know, and she was 77 years old. She's like at the end. If she didn't get saved soon, she wasn't getting saved, you know? But I almost spoke Spanish again. Thank the Lord that she did get saved at 77 years old. And a number of people that, you know, that we know. Verse 10 says this, as sorrowful and yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. I want you to understand thoroughly, 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 when you lead somebody to the Lord, when a missionary leads somebody to the Lord, we are giving them access to everything that God has. Isn't that weird? Now, that doesn't mean that God's going to give it to you. But we became, instead of being poor lost sinners, we became children of God. We became heirs, co-heirs with Jesus. But that also means we're co-workers with Jesus. It's a tough thing when you think about it. Missionaries and pastors and evangelists, everybody put them on a list of, these guys really work for the Lord. I work the same as you work. I just have a different title. Now, I preach, but some of you preach to your families. How many of you met somebody that I've never met? Everybody raise your hand, please. You've met people I've never met. I can't lead everybody in Texas to the Lord in this area, I can't, I mean, I might be able to witness to 12 people while I'm here, right? But you guys are the ones. You have the ministry of reconciliation. Now, your ministry of reconciliation extends where we are in Mexico. But in this place, at this time, you need to check to see if there's somebody that needs to hear about the good news.
Good.
And that's your job. When you talk about missions, the mission mandate isn't send everybody in the world to a foreign field, because honestly, it's just the field. We talk about the field because as soon as you walk out these doors, you're in the field. You're in the field where it's white unto harvest. So once again, I'm going to say to somebody that's here, if you have never accepted Christ as Savior, if you're not even sure what that means, come running up here right now. Come running up here, and Pastor will run up there and he'll meet you, and 5-10 people will run up to you. No, no. Whoever needs to be there for you will be there. We want you to be the one today, the day of salvation, to accept Christ. So if there's anyone, I'm just going to leave it like that, Pastor, that you want to come down here. If nothing else, we'll pray about it and we'll show you in the Bible what it really means, this salvation that's free. How come it can be free? Does that make sense? I do want to pray for the church real quick. And while I'm praying, you all pray, and that person, or that, if there are more, you know, 8 people, 20 people, who knows, that need to hear more about the gospel, please come up right now during my prayer. Nobody will say anything. And we want you to have an opportunity to accept Christ.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this church, their faithfulness to your word, their faithfulness to the work. They've been helping missionaries and faithfully helping missionaries in ways that make a true difference. I pray, Lord, for this church. We call it a church family. I pray for them that you give them strength, give them the word, that they might need to be able to take to someone else. As we think of those that are not reconciled with you, we pray that they could be reconciled. And we will give our lives for that. Give our lives for that purpose, that somebody else might come to know you. Lord, if there's somebody here, you know who they are. Put in their heart to come forward, that they might be able to hear from your Bible, from your word, how to be saved. We thank you for this church, and we pray your blessings on it, Lord, that you might be able to grow them even more than you have. I pray this in Jesus' name.
Man, let's all stand, turn to hymn 157, Jesus Paid It All. We have the ministry of reconciliation. We are co-laborers with God. I think about there in Corinthians where it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. The ministry of reconciliation, giving the gospel to others. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, it is worth it. It is worth it. May we be faithful in ministering to others. Preachers are not just ministers. Every saved, born-again Christian is a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, brother. That's so good. Let's sing. Hymn 157, Jesus Paid It All. As we sing.